Okay, welcome back to Scotch and the Balcony, our second episode of our restart. Do the usual, share, like, you know, if you want, get in touch, please do. So, what do you want to talk about, Al? Is there anything in particular that's...
Well, I think when our last episode, I wanted to continue on that theme for a little bit, if that's okay. In terms of what we were talking about, you know, the guilt that people try and put on others, that type of thing. And I wanted to finish on that thought. Maybe.
Okay, can I just say, there was something I was thinking about last night that came to me, and it's part of that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about certain things, but I think it's how we talk about things. Do you remember, and I say this as a middle-aged white suburban man, do you remember there was a Morgan Freeman interview from years ago?
Yeah.
I think he was on, well, it could have been CNN. And he said, you know, about racism and stuff and how to stop it or work on stopping it more so, I think, and he said, too, you stop calling me a black man and I'll stop calling you a white man. And I was thinking about that last night, and I was thinking about other things. I think John Barnes, who was a black English footballer back in the 80s and 90s, he's been in trouble since, but he did an interview, I couldn't find it, years and years ago, where he was talking about something similar, to say, listen, it's, I'm a man, you're a man. You know, and the best way to talk to fix this is to realize that and stop talking about it in that group identity politics kind of thing that we sadly we're surrounded by now. And I think that's all part of it, with the white privilege and the white guilt and the mental illness, that I think it comes back to people, even on themselves, because you see this with people who are, I think they're insane a little bit. That they think badly about themselves for something that isn't real. Like, we have enough to feel bad about ourselves, because we all fuck up. We all make mistakes. We all do things we wish we hadn't do. We've all hurt people. We all do these things, different levels.
Yeah.
So now you want to throw something on top of that that doesn't exist because some other group says so. And I think we have to go, no, right? And I think the same is also looking at other people. We say this as white men, but I'm looking at it, you know, I speak sometimes a bit like George Hook, by the way. I want to do an episode on what happened to him. George Hook was a guy who lost his career because he fumbled his words and making a comment about women. And I think it's the same. How do you say certain things without sounding like a dickhead? And I'm trying to say is that maybe there's certain things we just need to stop talking about, because, as you said in the last episode, it's not really doing any good. We've spoke all these things out enough. You know,
I think I understand what you're maybe. Saying. I would come at it from a slightly different angle, though. I mean, what Morgan Freeman and Fabio for me to, you know, tell him his experience is wrong. Racism very much still does exist. You know? Like, I live over here, and, you know, live in the UK, and just people are lovely. There is a real underbelly of racism with some people over here. It definitely 110% still exists. This is one of the, England is one of those countries, and it's England I live in. I know some people go, well, it's the UK, but it's England I live in. And it's still a country because of its past, and it's kind of empire and colonialism and all that. There's a lot of people over here that still live in the realms of racial and national stereotypes, right? That okay. Really exists. So it's not that I want people to stop talking about it. I want us to stop damning people who don't immediately have the same opinion that we have. Because even if somebody is talking out of their arse on a subject like this, it can be a teachable moment. Now, there's some people you can't talk to, And they're people you walk away from. Hopefully you don't have to have those conversations with them. But I do think there's a middle ground to be found here. There is a, I'm all for, you know me, and some people think I'm argumentative. Really, I love a good political or whatever debate. I like to talk to people who've got different views to me. And I learn something from them sometimes, or maybe hopefully the odd time, God bless them, they might learn something from me. It's like, I'm a big believer in that you know, the antidote to bad speech is more speech, not less. And you see now, I'll give one example that you're not going to like, but I'll give it anyway. A lot of these MAGA people for Trump, when they actually really did start to get a platform, and you started to listen to, get to hear a lot of what they were thinking and what they thought in terms of Trump or, you know, the QAnon, you know, not all the MAGA guys were this, but if sunlight is a great disinfectant, you let them out there with their, and their views are so idiotic that you realize, actually, do you know what? It's probably not a bad idea that you allow these people to speak on a platform, I think, where they're challenged is what's important.
Yeah.
They talk shit and they're met with facts. And then you realize very quickly, oh, so these people, they're, what they're thinking or what they're talking about is very, it's not based in reality a lot of times, and it's not based in fact. And it's not just MAGA. There's a lot of stuff on the extreme left as well, where when you actually, in a debate sense, challenge it, a lot of that logic can fall apart because it's about, a lot of times it's about emotion. It's not about...
it's about feelings.
About feelings.
And you know, and you know, feelings are so important.
Feelings. But yeah, it's... So I think, like, that's the point of it, like... When people throw out the labels, which we talked about on the last podcast, but it's, you know, I used to get one thrown at me all the time, which used to drive me mad from intelligent people, but people who would consider, like, I don't consider that I exist on one place on the political spectrum. I think I'm probably mostly left of center, if it really, but then I have some views that might be on the right, and I've got most of my views that are on the left, but it's all the way along. And I used to get this thing thrown at me that everything in life, and this is where I was joking in the last podcast about fourth wave feminism, but I do have problems with a lot of fourth wave feminism in terms of the labels and in terms of infantilizing women, which I think is patronizing at times. And not that there aren't structural inequalities still in the world for women, and there absolutely are. I just think that patronizing women, or now getting to a point where you're telling them what they should think. They're not a true feminist or a true woman if they don't think what you think. And I used to get this thrown at me all the time that, you know, oh, well, that's a, you know, it's like gender is a social construct. Now, I'm fully supportive of transgender. But that thing of, well, gender is a social construct, or, you know, the patriarchy, right, which always sounds to me like, although there, you know, there are large elements that are true, it always sounds like a conspiracy theory, right? Like when people would talk about the man or deep state, it's like it's something that's intangible. Or the war on terror, which really, until they started realizing how much money they were spending, was just perpetual. Because how do you know when you've defeated terrorism completely in the way that they were doing it? And I used to get this thrown at me in terms of, you know, well, that's a social construct, and these... Everything in society, other than eating, sleeping, shitting, and shagging for procreation, everything else is a social construct. The fact that we're sitting here having this conversation over the medium that we're doing it, that's a social construct. Sitting at a table and eating food is a social construct. Language, everything outside of the basic needs for life, of procreation and shelter and food and water, everything else is a social construct. And this is the problem with these types of labels. And I'm not just having a go, by the way, of fourth wave feminism or having a go at it at all. There's just areas of it I don't agree with. There's other areas that I think have been really good, you know, such as parts of the Me Too movement. But we won't get into all that now. But this is the problem with these labels. They're broad, generalized brushes to paint people with that you don't agree with. Or it's like a catch-all. Well, that's a social construct. And I don't have to explain anything now any further. So, well, what you've said just doesn't make sense. And I think we need more dialogue. We need more. We need more speech. You know, I probably need to be. You know, I shared a place with a very good friend of mine who was a radical feminist, would have considered herself a radical feminist. And we had amazing debates. She changed my mind on so many things. And I think I maybe moved the needle with her on a couple of things as well over the years. That's how it should be, you know. You know, we don't agree all the time, but it's this shutting down of debate. And again, the problem is that gets hijacked. And I promise I'll shut up in a second. That gets hijacked by extremists on the left and on the right. So when I say what I'm saying, people will either presume, that depending on what, that I'm either some woke, liberal, progressive, as they call it, or I'm an alt-right on the other side. Just that's what I believe in educating people. Like, most of my education in life probably didn't come from school. It came from being around smart people, putting myself around people with different viewpoints who are intelligent and educated and well-researched on topics, and learning from them. And then, you know, you develop your own kind of views and stuff. And I just think it's, labels are just an issue, because I know we finished on it last time, and I'll stop with it now. But that's why these kind of shutting down of debate and labels become dangerous, because they also allow people to just get into a comfort zone where you just dumb yourself down. It's fine. That person is this. You know, it's like as if we're all black and white. It's like that old saying, right? We judge other people by their actions, and we judge ourselves by our intentions.
Yeah.
No, that type of thing. So anyway, that's my.
I agree with nearly everything there, right? Well, I do agree. There's one or two things I take a bit further. When I was referring to Morgan Freeman, what I was and what he said and stuff like that, and my take on that, isn't that it doesn't exist? It does exist. Okay.
Yeah.
But we can all agree it exists. And so how do we solve it? And I agree with you. The only way to solve it is by discussion and you know, and people will change their minds from their experiences and so on and so forth. But I think we live at a time now where discussions aren't being had. Because you have the likes of TikTok, you have the likes of Twitter, so they're not discussions. It's me throwing out remarks, you throwing, or someone else throwing, and it's just people shouting and throwing remarks out. So there isn't a connection. There isn't even a connection between what people are saying, let alone to who's hearing it, and vice versa, and back again, if you know what I mean. And we see that with it starts with our politicians, and it starts with the people that are listened to. And I think it goes back to what we were saying in the last episode, and what you and I are probably going to talk about a lot through this journey, is that people need to stop, take their time. These things are hard. They're hard to figure out. It's hard to learn a skill. It's hard to figure stuff out. It's hard to sit down with someone and have a discussion and a debate. Even if you agree with them, it's hard, because you're not going to agree on everything. See, you're left of center. I probably thought I was left of center, but I think I'm actually right of center. But yet there's a lot on the left I agree with.
Yeah.
I don't know. I flip-flop depending on what. Mir, and I think you're the same. We flip-flop from left to right depending on what the subject is.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think if we're all around the center, we can figure it out. I think the problem we have now is we have the right. We have far right. And I don't mean far right as in white supremacists. And I don't mean probably radical right is probably what I mean, and radical left. And you're right. You, by letting them talk, you realize just how stupid they are on both sides.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say the ones on the right, the MAGA ones, are probably a bit, I have to be careful now, not dumber. That's not the word, but probably less. Definitely haven't thought about it enough. And weird enough, is very emotional, which is the weird thing.
It's a narrow mindedness. It's interesting.
Hold on. No, hold on. That's the narrow mindedness on both sides, because that's what radical people are. They are narrow minded. Okay.
But it's a different kind.
Yes, it's a different type of narrow mindedness, yeah. Right? Because on the left, you have a narrow-mindedness, which I think is even more insane and is actually more damaging. But here's the, but if we go back to what you were saying by letting these people have their platforms, but it's not, but what platform have they? They don't have a platform where they're actually having debates and they're being questioned on and they have to answer it properly. And for them to realize that, hey, it's stupid, okay? Because they're all in their own little bubbles. Okay, and if you, especially,
it's they're listening to their same reviews.
Yes,
when you see it on Twitter, for example, on like with social media. So where you see it on Twitter, and from it's the only social media I'm on now, but it's not debate. It's just you're a dick,
yeah,
or you're a phobe, or you're this, or you're an idiot, or you're whatever. In reality, the extremes of both sides actually. Both think they're doing good for humanity, yet both sides who engage in this, it's clear that they lack empathy and understanding for any situation in life that hasn't been their own. So it's like that thing in America where, you know, Republicans believe in, you know, the American dream, that you, anyone who comes, and that's true still. People, I know a lot of people go to America and have been very successful. But they don't understand, or they don't want to understand the structural racism that has existed, as it has in other countries, but particularly America, because it's been the leader of Western society, you know, since the beginning of the 20th century, right? That they don't, they believe in pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. They don't understand that actually there are a lot of people out there where it's not possible to do that without, you know, social safety nets and government-led social safety nets. And then they have no empathy for that. And then you have the people, liberals, Democrats on the left, who believe in social and government programs to help those who are most vulnerable. But probably maybe, and I don't know, I can't say for sure, but maybe some of it goes a little too far as far as they think. But it's a lack of empathy on both sides, I think, for with those extremes. And that, I think, becomes dangerous. Because you get these mouthpieces then, like Andrew Tate, for example, and others who are just, they're just perpetuating this toxic myth to young men that, you know, you have to behave bad and be an arsehole in order to be successful. And nowadays, the message that, it used to be the message that was given out was that if you weren't a millionaire, you can't, you're not successful if you're like a working slave. Now it's not even that anymore. That's unattainable enough for most of us. It's now, if you're not in the hundreds of millions or a billionaire, then who the fuck are you?
Or a millionaire before you're 30.
So for women, excuse me, for young women, it's the aesthetic of how they need to look. And for young men, it's the money they need to, and the wealth they need to achieve. And if you don't have it either, you're a failure.
Come here, I agree totally, but we have the Andrew Tates on one side, but don't forget we also have groups on the other side telling women what, you know, what they need to be doing, or actually telling women, well, this is what you should be expecting from men, and that's why I mentioned, oh, you have to be an X amount of millionaire before you're 30, you know, that men should be this, and this, and so on and so forth, and it goes back to what we're saying in the last episode, people need to work out what's good for them. They need to be less dependent on, and work towards being less dependent on government help and government handouts. And but people need help. Mm. But there's a difference between help and having it being done for you. And I think a lot of the voices out there are wrong. And a lot of the voices out there like, and it's, again, it's just, we just have a new type of marketing and advertising and a new, this whole thing of, before it was, you need to have this in your kitchen for your kitchen, you know, for your, whatever the fuck it is, you need to buy this for your life to be good. Your life will be shit unless you buy this or do this.
Consumer. It was the birth of which came out of the US in the 20th century.
Yeah. But here's the thing. We need to go, no, stop. Hold on a minute, right? Just fuck off. just go away, okay, and let people work it out for themselves. And that's, as I mentioned before, we were talking about men especially, but people in general need their own space, their own place. And I don't mean something big or, you know, it's I think you don't need a room. You don't. You just need a little bit of time to yourself every day, I think, or whatever. Just to be honest with yourself, to work out where you are, work out what you want, try and work out what's going on. I mean, it's complicated, and we're surrounded by people again who are telling us how to live our lives. They cannot be trusted. They can't.
No.
And I was saying this to someone the other day. I was like, why are you listening to these people? These people don't even, you don't exist to these people. You're not, they definitely don't know you.
Yeah.
But you don't exist. Now, whether it's politicians, whether it's corporations, whether it's the WEF, which I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because I get really angry and annoyed and depressed and I want to start fucking drinking again. But we need to stop listening to these people. Okay, they're not smarter than us. For starters, they are not smarter. What they are is they are extremely talented at getting up the ladder. They're extremely talented at grifting. Okay, and that's fine. Listen, you go off and fucking do you. But what we all need to do, I feel, my opinion, that as individuals, we need to just try and figure stuff out. Go, okay, this is what I need to do to make my life better. And then, but it goes back to the, and we got to also have empathy, the fact that we're surrounded by other people. Okay, is what I'm doing, how is that affecting those around me? Okay, is that a success, you know, is it a pity that's, okay, I'm doing something, if you know what I'm trying to say, that there are ripple effects to everything we do.
There are.
That's just my...
I'd like to, and I had this conversation with a mutual friend of ours who I won't name at Christmas. And, you know, I read a lot of self-help books in my 20s.
I've read a few.
And I'm not against them. I know people who swear by them and it's changed their lives and et cetera. BoJack Horseman did that for me. Check it out on Netflix, guys. But I found, for whatever reason, they didn't help me at all. I mean, I read everything. The Seven Habits of Highly Successful People, Sun Tzu, The Art of War, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Well, Al, you're obviously not reading it correctly. And it's not a problem with the book, Al, but it's a problem with you.
do you know what really changed for me? About 10 years ago, I used to be someone when I was younger, and I say this to kind of my younger nieces and nephews, the ones that are kind of coming into adulthood or adults now. I used to ask everyone's opinion on so many things in my life. And really it was about, I didn't necessarily want them to disagree with me or give their, I wanted them to agree with what it was I was going to do anyway. And the problem is if you ask someone's opinion, they'll always give it to you. And it's not always great advice. And I found over time, and this is not a criticism of people, I'm saying that a lot of people are hypocrites. When it comes to your life, it's black and white. When it comes to their own, it's every shade of gray, which goes back to what I've said before, intentions and actions, right? How we versus judging ourselves. So I found personally, and this is just for me, that once I stopped asking people their opinions, right? And it took time for people to stop giving me their opinions because they were so used to me asking it, almost felt like they had a hand in my life. And it took time for them to say, no, thank you, but unless I ask for it, no thanks. But I found that once my life got a lot better, I was starting to make my own decisions and some of my own mistakes as well. But at least I was able to own my mistake as being a decision I solely made based off whatever factors. So for me, there's too many influences out there now and people who want to tell you how you should live your life and what you should do. And it confuses young people, I think, in particular. And, you know, I've always said this to my younger nieces and nephews and to young people that I talk to, even in the job, unless your gut instinct was getting you arrested and into trouble when you were younger, unless your gut instinct was constantly causing you problems when you went by, trust that over anything or anyone else. Your instincts usually will be attuned to tell you when something's right or something's wrong. So unless that's completely been off for you in your life, that's what you should trust the most. How does this feel to you? Does it feel like it's not right, the right path? Does it feel like it's not the right situation? Are you getting a sense? If you're getting that sense and you trust your gut instinct, then you walk away from it, or you don't choose that path or whatever. And I think it's about, for me, it's like people coming up now, it's about teaching them to be confident in making their decisions. You don't need to be going along with the herd, with the group think, with, you can think for yourself. You can finely tune those decisions. And yeah, as a young person, like we all did, you'll make some mistakes. But I think it's important that because I think people are too influenced, and even people our age, I know, something like so influenced by what's going on social media. And it's like, just, they're doing it for money and for likes and for advertisements. And don't worry about that shit. Just like find your own path. You know, I think this stuff will balance out over time. There's always these fads and these things that go on. And I think that the pendulum eventually swings, hopefully will swing back towards the middle, sane, lack, no more, you know, where people aren't judging, people aren't quick to get people to lose their jobs or be canceled because of maybe one thing that they said. Some people do things and they deserve to be fired and canceled. Sometimes it seems like it's a little bit too much. And this is all in the same arena, right? Yeah. Of this social media life that people are expected to follow these days, which I just think it's very dangerous.
Well, I'm sorry to say, I don't think it's a fad. Isn't that what they said about television? Television, it's only a fad or something. One of those they said it about, or the internet or something like that. And I think it's too ingrained in society now, in Western society anyway.
Or the man who towards the end of the 19th century declared everything good is that has been invented. We've basically done everything. And within 20 years, there was motor car.
according to some people, he may not have been wrong. Because
it will evolve, right? I mean, television is so influential, and now it's social media. And these things evolve over time. And unfortunately, maybe the only way that it evolves positively is to have heavier regulation and controls around it, where, you know, certainly for young people, if you're going to do TikTok or you're going to do Instagram or whatever it is they do, that I wouldn't even know the name of half of them now, that there has to be some educational content there as well. So I wouldn't go down the China route of what they do.
Well,
where there's some educational content, if you're going to be on it for 3 hours in a day.
Yeah, but hold on.
Then it's going to be educational.
I agree. But on the other hand, we have a history of not doing that. We have a history of when we realize we've made a mistake in society, in an effort to fix it, we go way over the top. So if a certain group of people or a certain thing was a restriction and things were being, and we said, okay, well, that shouldn't have been restricted. That should have been more open. Instead of opening the door, we opened the fucking gates. And again, there's no discussion. There's no education. And I know I'm being very vague and broad here. But that's what we do. I'm trying to think of the word. We over, you know the word. I just can't think of it at the moment. And
react. Overcorrect.
Overcompensate. We overcompensate. Right?
Over.
Yeah, I got there in the end, right? And I don't know what the solution is, right? But the solution isn't the China way. But I think the problem is, I don't know whether there's another solution that will work without saying, I don't know. Because here's the thing, hold on. Because to turn around, and anybody turns around and says that they're not influenced by social media and stuff, they've either become a hermit and just totally stayed away with it, but they will have been affected indirectly by people around them, or they're just fucking hypocrites and they're lying. You cannot, but it's so well made. It's so well, the logarithms are so well made. They are. They're so well designed.
Yeah.
Okay. And they are addictive. And they are. And they're addictive to take you out of, again, away from yourself. Same way drugs does, the same way drinks does, the same way people throw themselves into stuff that's not real. It's the same, in my opinion, it's the same thing. Now, Problem is, there is some good in there to be had. There's good from the internet. There's good from the technology. I think what we have to start being is honest and realize, hey, people are smart, okay? However, they need help and they do need regulation and they need to say, whoa, whoa, whoa. Maybe you're not smart enough for that yet. Maybe you never will be. Goodbye. You know, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, right? But I like I said, there's good in there, and I'm throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because that's kind of what China does. I don't know what the solution is, right? But it does come back to the set to what we have discussed in the last episode. And this is people taking time for themselves and figure out what they're passionate about, figure out what they want, figure out what they like, figure out what, you know, makes them happy. All right. Because some people do get it from work. Some people are very lucky that they figure out and they find a job that not only are they bloody good at, but they actually love.
Yeah.
And they get their thing from that, and they get their purpose. They get their purpose from that. I get my purpose of realizing my wife and my children and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do. And but now as I'm in my 40s, I've got two hobbies now. And one is me in my shed, and the other gets me out to meet people. Okay. And people, you know, and
you just hit on something key there, though, in that it's getting people, it's in-person interactions with people as well. That, you know, I think it's good for the brain. I think it's good for kind of, you know, life on social media ultimately is not, that's not what, and again, it's not initially what it was designed for. And I think it's evolved into that.
Well, can I just interrupt you there? Because here's the thing. And I got into an argument with my wife the other day about this, and my kids, because I argue with all of them. Sometimes I go too far. But it is about the human interaction. But here's the thing. We're being sold this lie that Facebook and Facebook friends, well, they're the same as friends. They're as good as friends. You know, we've got the whole thing. Our remote working, that's as good as working in the office. Like you and I are doing a Zoom call, right? You're in London, I'm in Dublin, okay? That's as good as us being in the room, and so on and so forth. And it's just everything else is being replaced. The real, I feel, has been or is in the process of being replaced by something which is a substitute, but it's just poor substitute. You know, isn't it that whole thing about, I heard it this morning, somebody was talking about the photocopy of something. You get the original, you photocopy it, It's the same, but it's not as good. Then you photocopy the photocopy and so on and so forth. And that's what we have. I think we're being told that these things, like I said, you and I doing Zoom, well, that's great compared to you and I being on the phone. But it's nowhere near as good as you or I sitting at a table.
No.
You know,
my adorable charm doesn't come across as well on Zoom. So you need it in person. I know
it's close, Al. It's close, but but you know what I'm trying to say. It's like
Listen.
But here's the thing: it's easier to have a Zoom call because I don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to go anywhere. There's no effort involved.
Yeah.
Okay. So my other hobby is I now and have done for nearly 3 years now. I'm in the board game hobby, and I now go meet people on a Thursday.
Now, ladies, remember, he's taken.
Go fuck yourself, right? Now, I will be talking about this at Lent. Trust me.
No,
but not today. Now, maybe not with you. That could be ones I do on my own, is it, Albert? Oh, my connection isn't working.
No, I'm interested to hear.
But here's the thing. But forget about that part of it. It's not for everyone, right? But here's the thing. For me to go and meet these people and meet people and sit down with these people, there's an effort involved, right? So when the lockdown came and everyone got into board gaming, suddenly there was this big push. Oh, you can play online. Okay. Now, it's not the fucking same. And I got into board games because I played video games basically for nearly 40 years because since I was a kid, and I just, there was nothing. I didn't like playing online or anything like that. And I just found, I always liked doing puzzles, and I found this thing. And I found this thing where I sit down with people. And it's that human action. sitting across the table from each other. Okay? And there's no phones, there's no nothing. And I'm not saying anyone has to do this, right? But you go find the thing that's good for you. Try and figure out what's good for you. Sitting down with people and talking and debating and doing stuff together is better than doing it online. But I think, and we've only got a few minutes left, but I think that the problem is that we're being sold an easy route, but it's not a better route. The best things in life are not fucking free.
No. Right?
The best things in life are hard. Okay? I heard someone say not too long ago, and I just walked away. I said, no, I'm not talking to you. I think he said something like, money won is better than money earned, or some shit like that. And I just went, no, I can't talk to you. Go fuck off, right? And this is what I'm saying. Sometimes the best thing to do is to shut down the conversation, just go, this isn't for me. See you later. And maybe that person will go, oh, maybe I did something wrong there. And then I come back to it. And that's what I tried to say 20 minutes ago. but it's hard. These things are hard. Not as hard as you think. They're just harder. Sorry. That's what I meant to say. Harder. Harder than sitting on your ass and pressing a button for a Zoom call. Well, you know what's harder? Is going to meet that person and making an effort. But oh my God, is it so much better. And I say this for someone who doesn't like people. You know me. I don't like people, generally. and listen, most people don't like me. That's okay. I'm a bit of an asshole.
Well, I think what I get where you're coming from, right? But I think it's more in-person interaction. And I'm not, listen, if people want to work from home, so fine. But find some outlet. And again, people's passions and hobbies change over the years, and that's fine. Just find some, I think, finding some outlet, but particularly where you're dealing with other people outside of your works. Because I know people who hate their jobs. And that's I've had jobs I've hated, and it impacts every aspect of your life. In those situations, it's so important then to have outlets kind of, you know, outside of that. But I think I'd like to see us move away from social media, because that's not going to happen, but for it to evolve into something more positive where it becomes part of people's lives rather than, like, I see people on Twitter and like, they're probably tweeting a few hundred times a week, and you're like, put it down.
Just, so what you want is for people on social media to be more social.
More social in real life. Yeah.
Which means turn it off and put it down and go away. Right?
Exactly.
And that's why I think people should put their phones down. Unless they're listening to us, of course. But I think that's where podcasts are a winner over those kind of things. Because guess what? If I'm listening to a podcast, I can do other stuff at the same time. Whereas I'm sitting there on my phone and going ding ding, that's what I got, ding ding ding.
I think the real solution is for people to listen to us and spread the word, because we're brilliant.
Yes. And
we tell you not to listen to other people, but you should listen to us though.
Well, listen to other people just so you know how great we are. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, exactly. Right. So here we gotta go. Come here, like, share, get in contact. Our details are there. We're everywhere. Come find us. And if anybody wants to be on the show, actually just get in contact. You never know. So that's goodbye from us, and stay safe, everybody, and see you next week. Bye.